Hello, everybody.
Hey.
Welcome back to Killer Babes.
Welcome, welcome.
Episode four. Yes. I am Katie.
I'm Kirby.
And we are just back ready to give you some crazy stories.
Yeah, but okay. So we don't want to do a whole episode on Abducted in Plain Sight, but we're going to be like every other podcast right now
it's and been just on talk our mind. About it. Yeah, because we were talking about it before and we were like, this documentary is crazy. So we
have absolutely to bring it up. Crazy.
Yeah.
Okay, I spoiler. Don't
understand it. Is it real or is it fake?
I think it's real. I really think it's real.
I just don't understand how it's real.
It's the perfect storm of someone being a perfect mastermind and being able to manipulate everybody so perfectly that they don't see what's happening until it's all connected together. And they're sitting in a room telling their story.
I don't know.
I think the girl's 100% far-fetched. I think the parents, just at the time, he got them at the right time and the right people who would be too afraid to speak out, too nervous, too embarrassed, and it's wouldn't just, be proactive.
Okay.
It is ridiculous.
He takes their daughter and, like, after a week, they're like, well, yeah, she's been gone for, like, a week, but,
we're not going to do anything.
They're probably fine. What?
Yeah. I don't know, but he was a family friend. They went on outings together.
Yeah, but that's not, I don't know. It's the 70s, but still.
Yeah, we don't know what happened back then.
No, we don't. We're too young.
Millennials.
Sorry.
So yeah, that's all we're going to say about it is that it blew our minds. It was crazy.
I don't know. What did you guys think of it? Because I thought it was insane and it was crazy, obviously, but it wasn't like, as far as, like, crime documentaries go, I don't know. It wasn't my favorite. I don't really love the way it was set up. I think, personally, actually, I just don't like when I kind of like more of, like, an ongoing, like, unsolved, we have to process, like, the evidence in this case. This was just very cut and dry. Like, they knew what happened. It was just a story yeah. about a complete story. We knew this guy was guilty or whatever, so.
And I'm the complete opposite.
Yeah, you loved it.
I loved it, yeah. Because it was a story. Like, I didn't have to think. It just was presented to me in, like, a story timeline. They added those, like, little fake reenactments with fake photos and fake videos. And mm-hmm. and then it just, like, it just flowed nicely. It was a nice
See,
story.
I hate reenactments.
I love them.
I dread them. They're so fake.
The cheesier, the better.
Ugh. I can't. I'd much rather have, like, a Making a Murder or like a staircase where it's follows a case that you kind of have to make up your own mind. Like they present the evidence and it's up to you to decide if you think they're guilty or not. And I like that so much better because it's like there's so you can have so many opinions on it. Like there's so much debate. There's so much to pick up on.
I mean, I don't hate those.
But I think you like a story more.
Yeah. And my favorite part is when the actors and actresses don't even resemble the real life people. So they literally cut from the reenactment to a real interview with the real person.
And it's like that person, but like 10 times prettier. Like they just like made them prettier.
I wasn't going to say prettier. I was just going to say different. But yeah, it's completely different. And you're almost wondering for like the first 10 minutes, is that person supposed to be them? And then you realize they are. And it's a little awkward. But to be fair, if I ever had a documentary done
Who would you want to play you?
I don't even know, but I would 100%
Wait, that's
pick.
A good question. Think about it.
Probably Shay Mitchell.
Ooh, girl, get it.
Yeah.
She's really pretty.
See, but I would pick someone who's like 10 times prettier. Like everybody would, right? You're not going to pick like Joe Schmo from the grocery store to play your part.
Yeah, I guess. But like if you just think of like any actress, like they're just always portrayed as beautiful.
True.
I would pick Emma Stone.
Okay.
Or you know what? I might let Lindsay Lohan take a stab at it.
Oh, because she's back?
Yeah.
All right.
Give her a shot.
All right. Bold.
Bold, but...
So, guys, if we do unfortunately have a demise, please pick those two people to play our parts.
Yes, because they will come to you.
Well, yeah, maybe. I don't know. If all of our fans write letters, you know, maybe it'll like gather attention.
There is a documentary about my death. Just make sure the actress is pretty. That's all I ask.
Oh, and I saw a meme online the other day that was like, if I do die, let crime history or true crime channel or whatever, 2020 Dateline, let them know that I was terrible and nobody liked me. And that,
yeah, don't like, tell don't that, make like, up lie, stories. Like yeah. cheesy lie. Everyone loved her. Yeah. She was voted like class favorite. Yeah, tell it how it is.
Yeah. So take notes, guys.
Take notes.
Thanks. So with that, I think we can just roll into the story.
Yeah, let's jump into this week's case. This week we have a extremely recent case for you guys coming from Connecticut, which I think we've only done Massachusetts stuff up until this
so far, yeah.
point.
This is new.
Yeah, we got to branch out a little bit. So, I mean, this is kind of a stretch. It mostly happens in New York, but a little shout out to Connecticut along the line. The case has been in the news a lot lately. And it's still ongoing, and details are still coming out, like, daily. So I think, I mean, we'll talk about it at the end, but I think we might have to do, like, updates to this case or something.
Yeah,
because I think a
lot
more
is
going to come out soon. Also, we are eating ice cream, too, so...
Are you feeling a little flummy?
I'm feeling a little flummy, and also I might forget and just, like, take a bite. And just a heads up, I do have a Sonic thing.
And that is not sponsored, by the way.
Not sponsored.
So
no.
You should say a generic drive-in that people have rollerblades
it's
and bring out
too
food
late.
To you.
That was my first time at Sonic. I've never seen anyone rollerblade out to a car before, but I saw it today and I freaked. That was so funny.
Yeah, I would fall straight on my face.
It's dead. It's the dead of winter. There was like a blizzard today and this guy is still rollerblading out to these cars. Like, that is dedication.
Props, mad skill.
Mad skill. Well, anyway, so yes, like I said, this case is still ongoing. There are still details coming out. This is the shocking and devastating case of the murder of Valerie Reyes. Valerie Reyes was a 24-year-old woman from New Rochelle, New York. She lived there in an apartment, and she worked at Barnes & Noble in Eastchester, New York. She had plans to train to become a tattoo artist. Friends said she was a happy young woman who liked to sing. New Rochelle, New York is home to many Central American immigrants. According to neighbors of Reyes, she was a gentle person who was friendly with the neighborhood children and at one point had a pit bull. On January 30th, Valerie Reyes was scheduled to work at Barnes & Noble in Eastchester. When she didn't show up for her shift, co-workers notified her family. Reyes was officially reported missing that same day by her mother, father, and boyfriend. Throughout the following days, a multitude of friends and family took to social media to ask for help for finding Reyes. They shared a photo of the woman and described what she was wearing when she was last seen. According to police, Valerie Reyes was last seen the day before she was reporting missing, on January 29th, near the New Rochelle train station. On February 5th, a week after Reyes was last seen, at about 8:23 a.m., a Greenwich Public Works highway worker spotted a red suitcase placed suspiciously off the shoulder of Glenville Road in Greenwich, Connecticut, just north of Stillman Lane. Upon opening the suitcase, the worker discovered Reyes' body stuffed inside, clothed with her hands and feet bound. So, town officials confirmed that the identified highway worker had actually taken photos of the victim and the crime scene upon discovering it. First Selectman Peter Tessie, who serves as a police commissioner in Greenwich, is quoted as saying, "It's an egregious act of judgment and sensitivity to the situation. That's someone's wife, daughter, sister. To have done something like that shows disregard for the descendant and their loved ones. It really is unconscionable." He was placed on paid administrative leave Thursday for taking unauthorized photos of the victim and the crime scene on his town-issued cell phone. That's a no-no. The town employee not only faces disciplinary repercussions, but potentially criminal prosecution. That is, quote, "That is still under review. That is mostly going to be an issue for the town of Greenwich," Greenwich Police Captain Robert Berry said.
Yeah, that's crazy. I mean, like, what are your thoughts
on him doing that?
I guess just cell phones in general, taking video and pictures.
Cell phones, I love them.
No, I mean, like, taking videos and pictures of horrific crime scenes, car accidents.
Oh, I mean, so in this case, like, he came upon a crime scene. He was the first one. And
his first thing was to take a picture?
Everyone's a true crime aficionado like us, but, like, I feel like you should know the first thing to do, like, it's not to take pictures on your town-owned phone. Like, it's you call 911 before you do anything.
Like, well, don't they never said they didn't. Like, maybe he did call police.
Okay, I guess you're right. I don't know if that was his first move. But
Let's assume that he called 911 first. Okay. He placed the call. Let's just assume that from him.
He was waiting around, and so he was taking photos of his own camera. I still don't like it. I mean,
I don't like
it. What's the point? It's for your own. You're not taking it for the police. They're going to take their own. So you're taking it for your own. Just to be like, so like, wow, what's his look what I saw. Look what I came across. It's like a hype. It's like, look what happened to me today. Like, this is crazy. Don't do that. It's not for you to do. It's not your job. I think it's disrespectful.
I think it's disrespectful, but I almost feel like it's almost part of today's like second nature. Like, as soon as someone's grandmother or grandfather dies, the minute that happens, they post on Facebook or they post a picture of them on
their
Instagram.
Their grandma or their...
That's true.
You know.
So it'd be their relative.
He just came across a dead body stuffed in a suitcase and took a picture.
I wonder if they never said if he sent it or not. Like, I wonder if he did send it to someone. Or if he literally just took photos and that's it.
Yeah.
But how would they know he took photos unless he showed somebody?
I don't know. Maybe they asked to see his... They probably did ask to see his phone because he was the first one. I think you have to kind of like interview the first one to see on the scene.
And you think they'd ask to see his phone?
Yeah, probably. And it's not even his. It's his...
The town one?
His work
like
phone.
It's work issued, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Thoughts. Just random thoughts I just had. So, police investigators, along with the Office of the Chief Medical Examiner, were able to identify the victim as Valerie Reyes. The body was found approximately 15 miles from New Rochelle, where Reyes was from. Glenville Road was shut down, and the lengthy process of combing the lightly wooded scene for evidence began. Detectives searched Reyes' basement apartment in New Rochelle for evidence. One thing detectives found and noted was a drawing that matched a social media profile picture of Reyes' ex-boyfriend, Javier. So Reyes lived in the basement apartment of a home that contained several other tenants, which also included her father. On February 7th, friends and family held a vigil for Reyes at Glen Island Park in New Rochelle. One coworker quotes, "She was horrified, absolutely horrified." That's from Lauren Bradford, 19, who worked with her. "I'm just like totally shocked. She was a confident, she really encouraged me and my aspirations. She had a really bright future and she was really excited about her art and goals." And that's from the Journal News. On February 13th, a funeral mass was celebrated at St. Gabrielle's Church in New Rochelle. After discovering the body of Valerie Reyes, detectives from Connecticut and New York teamed up with the FBI to narrow down suspects. Detectives soon noticed suspicious withdrawals from Reyes' debit account, and they later determined that Reyes' debit account had been used at a New Rochelle bank branch at 5 a.m. on January 29th, and the footage shows a man in a black hoodie making a withdrawal of $1,000. Detectives then traced the ATM withdrawal back to Javier De Silva Rojas, Reyes' ex-boyfriend. The two had dated, but Reyes called it off about a year prior. Video from a city street camera nearby showed the movements of De Silva. He was driving a Honda CRV that detectives traced back to a rental company in Queens. De Silva is 24 from Jackson Heights in Queens. He was arrested the night of February 11th at his condo in Flushing, New York, and charged with federal count of kidnapping resulting in death. De Silva was arraigned February 12th in federal court in White Plains and was held without bond. Upon interviewing De Silva, he told police that Reyes had fallen and hit her head either during or after the two had sex in her New Rochelle apartment on January 29th. He claimed he sealed her mouth with packing tape, bound her legs and hands, and put her in a suitcase, which I guess he said when he was arrested. When she was discovered, Reyes showed obvious signs of head trauma, including bruising around the face and a large hematoma on her forehead. An autopsy has been completed by the Connecticut Office of the Chief Medical Examiner, but the cause of Reyes' death has not been officially released. She had been bound with what appeared to be white twine and packing tape at the hands, behind her back, bare feet and knees, and packing tape had been placed over her mouth and chin. De Silva claimed that he put her in a suitcase before driving to a forest and leaving the suitcase there. It is unclear from the complaint if Miss Reyes was still alive when she was placed in the suitcase.
Yeah, so the arrest in the case, it's being prosecuted by the office of Jeffrey S. Berman, the U.S. attorney in Manhattan. And the arrest came after dozens of interviews with witnesses and the review of hundreds of hours of surveillance footage, according to the Greenwich police. Mr. De Silva, who was charged with a kidnapping resulting in death, remained in custody without bail after a brief court hearing on Tuesday in White Plains. Norma Sanchez, Reyes's mother, said her daughter, who battled depression and anxiety, was paranoid right before her death. Quote, she was very scared, very frightened. Sanchez told the Rockland Westchester Journal News, she was going on about how frightened she was in that apartment. She didn't mention anything or no one specific. She just said, I'm scared. I'm paranoid, mommy. I'm getting anxiety attacks. She was having a hard time talking. I asked about her ex-boyfriend and she said no. It should be noted that the couple had broken up January 24th, just days before Reyes went missing. So this was a more recent boyfriend that she had been dating with in the past year or whatever, but they had broken up a couple days before she went missing. So apparently she told her mom that it wasn't him. She wasn't nervous about him, but she was just getting these paranoid feelings. And then the night before the last day she was seen, Reyes had called her mom and said, I feel like somebody's going to murder me. So Reyes was last seen January 29th and then reported missing the next day. De Silva claims that Reyes died the evening of January 29th. The next day, however, she was supposedly seen in New York City. Footage from a private investigator the family hired showed surveillance footage of Reyes exiting a Chase Bank branch near Radio City Music Hall in Manhattan at 6:30 a.m. on January 30th. It's unclear why Reyes was in New York City, if she was alone, or if she was with anyone else, and where she went next. So it's a contradiction because De Silva claims that she had died the evening of the 29th, but now they're finding video footage of her on the morning of the 30th. But, like, the contradiction in this account wasn't explained by police, or it hasn't been explained by police yet. But Ms. Sanchez is quoted as saying that she took comfort in this apparent sighting, and she believed that her daughter was seeking refuge in the safety of city crowds and would come home when she felt ready. She was planning to stay for a while, Ms. Sanchez recalled thinking.
On February 16, 2019, De Silva had an exclusive 45-minute interview in the Westchester County Jail, during which he uttered the word sorry more than 24 times. The Queens man, bawled uncontrollably during the jailhouse interview, repeatedly apologizing, insisting he tried to revive her, before he put her in a suitcase and ran. Quote, I didn't know what to do, insisted Javier De Silva. I don't know what happened. I didn't mean to do it. I'm a bad person. De Silva was arrested by federal authorities on felony kidnapping charges on February 12th, and he's currently in the custody of the U.S. Marshals Service, pending criminal proceedings. Mm-hmm. So this is still a very open-ended case, I feel like.
Yeah.
Even though he said sorry and he said, I'm a bad person and he...
I mean, he did it, but I don't think we just know all the background story now. But the fact that he was like, I don't know what happened. I didn't mean to do it. I'm a bad person. I mean, I think something happened there.
You think so?
Yeah, I mean...
It's just weird. Like, if he went back and they hadn't been dating for a while...
Mm-hmm. And then... I don't think it happens. Like, you don't... Listen, if an accident like that happens, she fell off the bed and hit her head
so hard. Yeah, totally could happen, but you don't shove someone in a suitcase.
Your first reaction is not, oh my God, I'm so scared. People are going to think I did it, so let's shove her in a suitcase and put it in the forest. I mean, you made a good point before when you were saying, like, if it actually happened, like he said, and they were having sex and she fell off the bed or whatever, when they found her, she was fully clothed. So what, did he just put clothes back on her? And
yeah, that also is weird.
That doesn't jive. So I don't know. I think there's a lot more. They still have not actually officially said the cause of her death.
And they did search her apartment, so they haven't released any information about that either. So if she did fall and hit her head, there should be something in the apartment. Like, mm-hmm. The nightstand should have her blood on it or something.
Yeah, and I think I read that they're going through a bunch of security camera footage. So I think they're still going through it because
the ATM withdrawal.
Yeah, I don't understand
where this does whole that fit thing in?
Where she might have been seen the next day, which does not jive with the story of Javier. It just seems like the timeline isn't cleaned up yet, and they don't know exactly when everything happened and why she was in New York the morning after she was supposedly killed.
Like, did he withdraw the money because he was planning to run? Well, like, why did she withdraw the money?
Why did he withdraw? If it was an accident, why did he take her ATM card and withdraw $1,000 from it? You know, is it just like he was like, oh, well, while I'm here, I might as well. It just, something smells fishy.
Yeah. So we will be following this case.
Yeah.
To see what results.
Yeah. I think there'll be updates probably in the next couple of weeks. I mean, this was literally a couple weeks ago. I remember seeing it all over the news, like at the gym. It was all over on the TVs. So I think there'll be more stuff coming. We're going to have to keep you guys updated. So like we said, this is still an ongoing case, and authorities urge anyone with information to call an anonymous hotline at 203-622-3333.
Yeah, so this was a pretty short case, but it was interesting to us because it was breaking news and not everything was clear. None of the details really have been released, and we're kind of following it day by day to see what the turnout is.
Mm-hmm.
And with that, I think that wraps up our fourth episode.
Hopefully, in a very soon upcoming episode, we'll be visiting another location? Question mark? Exclamation point? Asterisk?
Most definitely.
Dollar sign?
I thought you were spelling something there, but
no, it was. I'm just trying to express excitement.
Oh, good job.
Yeah, because we got some good, really good things coming your way. And we also have guests scheduled to come on very soon, which I'm excited about. I think that'll be fun.
Yes.
Just having a third voice in the mix.
Yeah. So if you guys have any small town murders, deaths, crimes, haunted happenings, etc., please let us know because we would love to know about anything specific to New England.
Yeah, I would love to do one that's not so fact heavy, like a nice ghost story or something.
Yeah, with like a haunted tale.
Yeah,
an alleged killer.
Spook me.
Yeah, because we really honestly right now have not gotten spooked.
I think we need to place ourselves in a situation that's
that means we have to go around a little later than dusk, like maybe we start at 5:36.
It's just so cold.
But we do have a really fun escape room planned, which may or may not be related to murder. We don't know the circumstance yet.
Yes, I've done one before, but the one I did was not anything related to murder. It was like a kid's birthday party with like a clown, which actually is
really terrifying.
That's terrifying. Yeah.
So yeah, we will find out when we go to the escape room what the mission is.
Yes, I'm excited for that.
But we'll share that with you.
What if we don't escape?
Then you guys will never hear the next episode.
We end at 4.
That's all for season 1.
And forever.
But hopefully not. Yeah, so I mean, if you don't hear from us, find us in the escape room.
But in the meantime, follow us on our Instagram, Twitter, Facebook.
Yeah, so our Instagram and Facebook are Killer Babes Podcast. Twitter got cut off, so it's just Killer Babes Pod. And you can always email us anytime, killerbabespodcast@gmail.com.
Yes, please. We would love to hear your beautiful stories, I guess, because we wouldn't hear your voice.
That's true. Unless you find out how to input that anchor message
online. Somebody figure that out and do it because it'd be so fun.
And then you can call in and be a part of us without being here.
Yes.
All right. See you guys.
Thanks for tuning in. Bye.